Good morning, everyone. Today is Wednesday morning, 13th of March, 2019. It's early in the morning. It's about 4:30 in the morning. And so I just get up rather than just lay there in bed and toss and turn. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, man, Christ Jesus. Good morning, Leon Kennedy. Welcome aboard this morning. And good morning, Joseph Timothy. Good to see both of you this morning. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Good morning, second to Halder. Welcome aboard. So I just read from 1 Timothy 2:5, Hebrews 2:14, Isaiah 45:22, 1 John 2:1, Ephesians 2:13 and 14, and Hebrews 9:12 and 15, and Hebrews 7:25. You know, I saw Brother Leon Kennedy's post on Facebook about the United States and how that we've been, you know, basically lied to our whole life regarding the United States. You know, he was right on. And I'm sure he caught a lot of flack for that. But, you know, when you speak the truth, people are going to reject it, you know. And, you know, but God has his remnant who have been recipients of the truth. And we've exposed a lot of the lies from the inception of the United States. You know, many of the founding fathers were into the occult. You know, Benjamin Franklin was in the occult. And the Carrolls, a lot of people, if you want to ever see anything interesting, go in and do a study on the Carroll family. You know. One of the Carroll brothers, who was a Jesuit, was one of the signers of our Declaration of Independence. Why am I bringing this up? Well, because things are not always as they appear. You know, and good morning, Steve Fisher. And my father passed away last November. And one of the last conversations that I had with him was, I said, you know, Dad, I said, sometimes I have to pinch myself almost. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I said, how much we've been lied to our whole lives. We've been lied to about the Bible. We've been lied to about the creation. We've been lied to about cosmology, the way God said he created the earth. We've been lied to about salvation and replaced with the free will of man. We've been lied to about, our government has lied to us. Well, you know, the thing of it is, good morning, MJ Avalos. Man, wherever you guys are at, you're up and at 'em. It's 4:30 here. So we have quite a little group. Now, I know that you're all from different parts of the world, so it's different time zones that were represented this morning, but we're talking about the deceptions of Satan this morning. But in contradistinction to all the lies and the deceptions that we have to contend with, it should give us tremendous comfort to know that we know the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I've often said, you know, it comes clearly into my mind often, Jesus before Pilate. And Pilate says, what is truth? He said to Jesus, what is truth? And the way, the truth, and the life was standing right in front of him. The eternal Son of God was standing right in front of Pilate. But Pilate couldn't see it. His eyes had been blinded to the truth, the way, and the life. So many today have been blinded to the way, the truth, and the life. They can't see it. What a blessing we've been given to have our eyes open so that we can see Jesus. We can see his marvelous work that he did for his people. In all of the deception and lies and deceit that we have to contend with on a daily basis in this life, we can still see the perfect sacrifice for our sins. How he freely laid his life down, shed his precious blood, went to the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. For he is wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, you know, I can never think too much on these things. It's mind baffling to think the creator of the universe came from the ivory palaces of glory and was born into a little stable in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. And then the creator, the redeemer of the universe, had his angels appear to lowly shepherds in the field. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Wow. The shepherds said, we got to go check this thing out. They left their sheep. They went directly into Bethlehem to see these things that were reported to them. And the wonderful thing about it is the great shepherd of the sheep had the angels appear and announce the birth of the great shepherd to the shepherds. Isn't that beautiful? The great shepherd had his angels announce his birth, the birth of the great shepherd to the shepherds. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. For I and my Father are one. Well, this morning, I've often thought about the Great Shepherd. They hear his voice. They will not follow another. What a picture of the awesome love of our Savior, the Great Shepherd of the sheep. Well, this morning, I want to read a few things to you. And I hope that it will be edifying. And if any of you this morning would like a copy of this, Poems for Edification, Volume 1 through 4, I have it in PDF format. And I would be more than happy to send it to you. If you'll send me your email address, I'm not real good at technology. I would prefer if you could send me your email address in my regular email. And I'm going to post it here for you. It's Roth Miller Stewart @gmail.com. rothmillerstewart@gmail.com. A lot of people say, why did you make such a long email? That's a great question. And once I did it, I wasn't going to change it. RothMillerStewart@gmail.com. If you can email me at that address, that will also put you in the queue for any of our broadcasts on TalkShoe and other things that are going on within what's happening around us here. But I'd be happy to send you a PDF of this Poems for Edification, Volume 1 through 4. Like I've said many times, there was a period of my life that I was going through a great trial. I don't need to get into all of it. A very, very weighty trial. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would begin to write, and that's what was a result of not only the tremendous pain of the arthritis that I had, but these poems would come to me in the middle of the night. Many of them, not all of them. And so I decided to put it in a little book format. When I think of God's love and what he did for me by dying on the cross unconditionally, I'm sometimes overwhelmed in my mind and in my soul why this precious Savior would even care to give himself on Calvary for my life to spare. He could have gone about doing other things. Like listening to the birds or hearing the angels sing. But to come to this sin-cursed earth and to die for me is the greatest expression of love that I will ever see. How can I thank you, Lord, for being oh so kind to realize that before creation you had this worm in mind? To come and shed your blood and endure such scorn and pain should cause me to give you praise in an eternal refrain. Help me demonstrate in some real way this grace and love to others is my prayer today. So many times I forget what an awesome thing you did for me when you died and rose again to set my soul at liberty. Thank you. Well, the thought of the new birth is something that's kind of mind-boggling. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." Now it's true that all men were born and conceived in sin. But it's also true that for some, God chose us in Him from the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of His Son. When we take our first breath and are born on this earth, our mother and father celebrate our new birth. They invite their relatives over full of joy and laughter. But we've been born into a world of sin and disaster. Something needs to happen to get us out of this state. We need to be born again, the Bible tells us, for God's people. They were predestinated. It was His plan. Well, if that's the case for you and that's the case for me, we have received salvation. Then the final thing to be accomplished for us is our glorification. Well, I've entitled this next one, Great Expectations. Great Expectations. I read a book when I was young called Great Expectations, but it wasn't spiritually motivated at all. Like many who have unrealistic expectations, they are beating their heads against the wall. You cannot force someone else to change. You cannot even change your own heart. So what we need to do is read the Bible, and we will discover for a start that God is sovereign, and this is not our part. Being resigned to God's will is the perfect admission that He's brought our hearts into submission. And we can say like Christ, "Not my will, but thine be done." This is the best way for God's people to honor His Son. So the next time we get all bent out of shape and don't remember the way things and don't like the way things are going, remember God is in control, and if you are one of His children, He has redeemed your eternal soul. So praise Him and give Him thanks for giving His very life for you and causing you to be born again and giving you a home in heaven too. Well, when I was in high school, I was kind of considered the rebel because I was not really accepted into the social clan that very much. Just like today, I'm not very well accepted into the mainstream of society. You know, there's a lot of people out there that live in fear. You know, many people won't go on Facebook. Many people won't broadcast on YouTube. Many people won't go to all these other platforms of social networking because they know that you're an open book. And FBI and CIA and NASA and all the other intelligence agencies have record of every conversation, everything you're doing. It doesn't bother me. Let them have it. Let them monitor my conversation. If they think I'm in so important to monitor me, go ahead. I have one thing to say to you. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. So don't live in fear of NASA or the FBI or the CIA. Jesus Christ is our protector. Nothing happens without His sovereign will. All things are in His hands. When it's time for us to go, there's nothing that's going to stop it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And anyway, the love of Christ will constrain us. And perfect love casteth out fear. Many people are living in fear of all these things going on in our society. That doesn't mean that we should stick our head down the sand, not acknowledge evil, and come against it. But, you know, at the same time, we also have to acknowledge the remedy, the solution to all of this. You know. And I've called this one sheer amazement. It never ceases to amaze me how man wants to take the glory for the works of his hands, when God's creation spans the heavens and tells the story. It takes a man a whole week to build a shed, while Christ created the entire earth and man in 6 days instead. Yet man says, "Look at what I have done." God asks, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the universe, Son?" Man brags about this and brags about doing that. His pride will bring him down, and someday he'll go splat. He will fall to the ground, for God hates pride. It reveals to us what man really is on the inside. Let's start giving God the glory in these final hours, for He is the only one that has the total powers. I've entitled this "The Gift of Salvation." The gift of salvation. The Bible is not just another book. It is God-breathed, the living Word of God. In it can be found the words of eternal life. Whether we believe it or not is the question at hand. The Bible says we are born and conceived in sin, and that all men died in Adam, and all who are made alive in Christ. The Bible does not say that faith, belief, repentance saves you, but it does say that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. And it does say that all that the Father hath given Him will come to Him. And all that come to Him He will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also says you must be born again. So the Bible says that the first thing that must happen to a sinner is that he must be born again, and then he receives the faith to believe that Christ died for his sins, and then he will readily confess that he is a sinner in need of Jesus as his Savior. He will then trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ for him on Calvary as the perfect sacrifice for his sins. When this happens, the sinner becomes a new creature in Christ. He's no longer under condemnation and has received forgiveness on the merits of God's gift to him. And he now realizes that he was foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Well, I like to focus on the wonderful grace of God. I've entitled this, Wonderful Grace. What awesome, wonderful, magnificent grace God has bestowed upon us, who were dead in our trespasses in sin, to choose us before creation of the world, before our life would even begin, to be adopted into his family from the beginning and to the very end. How can our tongues describe this marvelous thing he did for you and me, to send his son to die and to redeem us for eternity? By shedding his precious blood on the cruel and rugged tree and pay the greatest ransom possible to set our souls free. Amazing grace, amazing love, so merciful to you and me who deserve to die an eternal death and experience awful suffering in hell, but God gave his only son, and now we sing thanks to Calvary, and with our souls all things are well. A million years from now we will still be praising him for delivering us from death and the bondage of sin. All glory to the Lamb who bled and died for you and me. Our praises will ring out for all eternity. Well, the last one this morning I want to read is entitled The Wonder of Grace. The Wonder of Grace. How can we describe the wonder of grace? How could God, who loved us so much, send his dear son to die for a wretch so unworthy, undone? How could God give such a precious gift to a sinner like me? It's the wonder of grace, that's all it can be. I deserved hell in my wretched state, full of sin and dead and full of hate. Against the one who died for me, how could this wonder of grace ever be? The wonder of grace speaks to our soul, knowing God's dear son paid and controls our destiny. And yes, we gaze on his face and continue to thank him for the wonder of grace. Well, I hope that this is a blessed Wednesday morning for you. We lift our voice to God and give him praise and thanksgiving for the wonderful thing he's done for us. We don't deserve it. We deserved hell, but God had something else in mind. Praise God. May God be with you this morning in a special way is my prayer. God bless.